there, buddy. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with it. Hope that goes well and you get that thing working. And you brought up grandbabies. That's a whole different story now. I know grandbabies are so much fun, I'd have had them first. But anyway, getting back to your other stuff, I'll try to get in touch with my daughter-in-law tomorrow evening. That's what she does. She redoes surface mount stuff. And boy, she came over here and looked at some stuff here that I had in the ham shack. She looked at some soldering that I had done, and she says, "This is a mess." I said, "Well, come over and bring your soldering station and fix it for me." She said, "Don't tempt me. I'll do it." And I said, "Well, you're tempted. Come on and do it." The other thing I was thinking was that you said you got all three lenses down on your little helmet. Well, you seen my magnifying glass with the fluorescent bulb around it. What you're going to have to do next is put your glasses on with your helmet.
Don't think I didn't think about it. It's been, I don't know, a month or two back. I bought me one of these little microscope things that I can take a look at surface mount stuff with. And I was just absolutely tickled when it come in the mail. You know, I got it. And problem is, it's Bluetooth. You connect it with your phone or your computer. And the issue I'm having is my hands are over here, and I'm having to look at the computer screen to move the soldering gun around. And it's just awkward. I mean, it's just, you know, I keep looking down at the component, and I can't see it. I have to look back at the screen. It's just a boogery mess. There's got to be a better way to do it.
The only thing I can tell you about that, Chad, is practice, practice, practice. Now, my grandson, or my daughter-in-law, she does it for a living, and, you know, I mean, it's second nature to her. But I guess it would be like, kind of like playing a musical instrument, maybe. You're looking over here at a piece of sheet music, and it's telling your fingers where to go on a clarinet or a saxophone or a flute or a piano. It doesn't matter what it is. And you're not looking at your fingers and what they're doing, but you're actually looking at the sheet music. So maybe it's just psychological blocks that some of us have I've got it too, so that's the reason I'm going to say some of us. Because it sounds like me and you got the same problem there, because I can't look at a computer screen that's in front of me and then have my hands over to the left or the right side working on a circuit board. That just don't compute.
For NUE. No, you're right. I need the hand-eye coordination, I guess. And when I have to deviate from that, it's just like I said, it doesn't turn out too well. But I'll keep plugging away at it, I guess. I just gotta find the trick. There's always a trick in there. I just gotta figure it out. I'm gonna have to get me a little vise or something to hold these cards, cause I got a big 5-inch desk vise, a bench vise in here. It's a nice vise, but it don't do too good with circuit cards. I need something with a little bit of finesse, you know. This big old honky thing it don't take much and you've damaged something. But like I said, I'll keep working at it. I think I got my power supply straightened out. I've been working on. I noticed today after I got everything working on it, It's got 2 meters on it with LED lights. And obviously some guns wouldn't, then the LED lights ain't gone out. So I'm going to have to take it back out and fix it. I might just disable the other one, because if both of them are off or both of them are on, I'm okay. But when one of them's on and the other don't work, I just can't stand it.
Feeling, you know, you want them to be the same. Years ago, I was teaching my boys maintenance on vehicles, and one of my headlights in my truck went out. And I went to the store and bought 2 headlights, and I came home and was changing them both out and showing the boys how to do it. They said, "Dad, I don't understand. You only burn out one. Why didn't you just replace one of them?" I said, "The other one is old as the one that burned out." And I said, "Now I'm going to show you, but, you know, since you ask, I'm going to show you the difference." So I got one of the new bulbs in, and I told him, I said, "Now go around there and open the door and turn the headlights on and come back and look at them." And he looked at them and he said, "Well, that one you just put in is brighter." I said, "There you go." I said, "Here's your sign." I said, "That's the reason I replaced both of them." I said, "Now the good one, I said, when I take it out, I'll wrap it up and put it in the dash. If I'm out on a trip somewhere and a headlight goes out, I can replace it and, you know, stick that one in there and have a light until I can get to the store to buy me another set." And he said, "I understand now." So, that's basically what we're doing when you got a light out and on one side and you don't on the other.
I get it. Well, anyway, all the stuff on my truck's LEDs, or, well, not LED, but halogen. And years ago, I replaced, and I had a Honda, and headlight went out on it, and I replaced it, and it wasn't a week or two, the thing quit working again. So I don't know, put 3 or 4 of the things in. And finally I said something to the guy at AutoZone that I got the bulb from. Said, "This thing, I don't understand why these things keep blowing." And he said, "Well, how are you putting it in?" So I told him how I was putting it in. He said, no. He said, "You can't touch the bulb." He said, you gotta wrap the bulb up in a tissue before you put it in there, because if you touch it with your fingers, you leave oil or sweat deposits on the glass, and then when it turns on, it superheats in that area and it blows the bulb. Well, I think, you know, that ain't right. But I tried it, and it didn't fail again, so it must have been something to it. The other thing is slamming the hoods on the car or the truck when you're done. That'll blow a bulb in a heartbeat. But I never thought about touching one with a tissue. But like I said, I think he was right. I didn't have any more issues with it after that.
Well, I'm sure you'll get the light either disconnected in the power supply or get the other one to where it illuminates to where both of them are doing the same thing. But sound like you got your work cut out for you.
Well, I got my patch panel up and finished today, and I've been doing some testing with it. And I'm liking it. I mean, it works where I want it to. But I was up underneath. I bumped the frequency dial on the radio and was up underneath the table dressing some wires up. And at 7 o'clock, this net came on. And it's up in North Carolina, Shelby. And I got to listening to them fellas. And they got talking about catching raccoons. Raccoons eating, tearing the trash can up and this, that, and other. And they got talking about catching raccoons and coyotes and possums and everything else. I just laid there on the floor. I got all my wires dressed up the way I wanted. And I slaved there and for a little bit and listened to them for a while. But, boy, they just giving them raccoons down the road. Boy, I'm telling you, they must be tearing the guy up, you know, tearing his garbage up. But he is fed up with it. That's what I heard anyway.
KOS in the Blue Ridge 2 meter net with KO4NUE. Well, it doesn't take me long to get irritated and aggravated with a raccoon or a bunch of squirrels or something of that nature. Of course, you know about them squirrels over at the deer camp, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Anna's mama's got a bird feeder she keeps on the porch, and she feeds birds. And she's got a nurse that comes and stays with her during the day. And they take pictures of the birds, all kinds of different birds, you know. Well, last year they got a picture of a hummingbird. I mean, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful thing. And we've been trying to sneak her out there to where if we get the birds to come and take food out of her hands. We hadn't done it in a while, but they put bird seed out there for the birds to come, and the squirrels just, they won't have it. So she told me the other day, she said, "Hey, you gonna have to do something about these squirrels." So I've been taking care of them for the last couple of days. So I think we about got the bird feeder under control.
So squirrels still coming too.
It's kind of what I'm thinking. But at any rate, well, let me let you go. I'm just gonna drop by and, you know, tell you what's going on here, which is not a whole lot. KC's been out with me all day. I've been outside all day, and he's done. he's snorting and blowing, and I got him a little. Chris got me a bed for him last year, something like that, and I drag that thing around with me every time wherever I go, deer camp or whatever. So I got it out here in Ham Shack, and he's been curled up on it for the last hour, but I think he's done. He's ready to go in the house. He's over here puffing and puffing. So let me let you go, Gary. It's nice talking to you, and you get ready to do something with you in town. Let me know. I'll be glad to come over and help you with it.
I will do that, and you take care of KC now, because he does a big job taking care of you. That's a sweet little old dog. And we got to remember, he is getting a little age on him, too. You know, he's getting like me. He's getting old. But one of these days, I'll find somebody that can tell me what it feels like to get old. I ain't found nobody can do that yet, but I'm still looking. But appreciate you hanging in. Boy, if we hadn't done this in a while, we'll have to do it a little more frequently. And I'll give you a holler about the antenna once I go to the doctor next week and find out what he's got to say and tell me about what I can do and what I can't do. So we'll go from take it from there. But you and Miss Anna have a great evening, what's left of it. Glad you got most of your stuff done in your ham shack. Take your time and get your beams up tomorrow, and you'll be tickle pink again. And we'll talk at you a little bit later, Chad. Enjoyed it, and then we'll do it again. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. Call KI4DOS. Something, Mr. Larry, KK4JPQ over there in the big town of Griff. Larry, what have you and Miss Donna been up to there, young man?
Wes, KK4JPQ. I think you had someone doubling with you, Gary. You want to check on that?
Somebody, go ahead.
Sorry, this is KQ4HLZ, Benson in Marshall, North Carolina. Check me in and out, please.
Give me your call again. I got KQ4HLZ, is that correct?
Roger that. That is correct.
I do appreciate you checking in with us tonight. Come back and each night if you can. We're here starting at 9 o'clock. Some of us, like myself, get a little long-winded every once in a while, but, if we're in there in a rag chew or something and you want to check in with us, just holler comment or something like that. We'll let you come on in, but do appreciate you taking the time to check in with us tonight. Thanks for coming back.
Appreciate it, and that's what it's all about, is talking. That's what these things is for. But I'll try to check back in as often as I can, and 73s to everybody, and hope everyone has a wonderful evening. Sleep well, and KQ4HLZ, we're clear and standing by.
And now that I've messed that one up, let's try it one more time. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet before we go back over here to Mr. Larry? JBQ, Mr. Larry, thank you for that information. And it's your turn up on the stump. I don't think Chad messed it up too terribly bad.
KK4JBQ. Didn't mess it up at all. As a matter of fact, I sat here and made some notes. I learned some things. I learn from any place I can get. I wasn't aware, for instance, I wasn't aware that bulbs should be replaced in pairs. But now I understand why. I was aware that for a similar reason, batteries, if you're stingy like me, you'll have batteries not work so well in your flashlight or whatever it is, and I don't care if it's an incandescent bulb or an LED. You take it out, sometimes one of those batteries will be a little better than the other. And you'll think, well, I didn't get everything I needed or everything I should get out of that battery. I'll put it in with another new one. Now, that's a bad thing to do. Just a bad thing to use batteries like I do sometimes. Not good for the circuit and not good for good performance overall. If you're going to replace batteries in something, replace the whole bunch of them. Or something, at least something of the same voltage as the other batteries in the set. Well, I also learned a little more than I could understand. I've never had a beam. Never had a place to put one, and I wasn't certain after Chad says, well, it listens okay. Well, I thought that'd be the problem. Maybe correctable by changing the direction. But no, that wasn't the problem. It was the advantage you have in maximizing the receive. Maybe you get good receive 10 degrees off, but if you're right on the nose, you get the best you can. Now, I never thought of it that way. Maybe you just about have to have one to think of it that way. But thank you, Chad, for both of those little bits of wisdom. Oh, and this is kind of related, too. I made notes here. Chad mentioned he might be getting a vice. I can recommend, because it's a very good vice. I have had several of them in the past. Brand name is Panavice. Some of them have a vacuum base. You can sit it on any smooth surface and turn that vacuum handle over, and it's there. But the jaws are repositionable. That is to say, they're on a ball swivel, and you can put it anywhere you want and lock that down. And it's a decent type of vice to have for small work. And I do understand what you're going through with eyesight and small work, tiny parts. I do understand that. One of the things that'll trip us up are not the substitution of point-to-point components rather than surface mount components, is that the surface you're mounting to are little tiny 1/4 millimeter solder pads, and that's what makes it hellish, just to be frank about it. Well, so there's some observations. I do take notes when good conversation is going on, and I appreciate both of you. KK4JBQ.
Make mental notes, and somebody mentioned a gentleman's name the other day to me, and they said, oh, I don't know if you know him or have ever heard of him. I said, yeah. And I said, and if my memory serves, and I told them where I've remembered the name from, and they says, you know, that's where I remember it from. And I said, well, at least my memory's working that good.
I'll tell you, KK4JBQ, I'm making, how should I say this? I'm trying to develop ways of boosting my memory, of making notes. I have a dry erase, a little dry erase board here. I got it at the dollar store for a dollar, you know, so not a bad deal. And it helps me refer to things that I very recently heard. I can remember things, and you know what this is about. I can remember the things that are 20 years ago, but things that were 20 minutes ago, or maybe even 2 minutes ago, they fly right out of my head. And so we have to make allowances as we grow older. You know, you're in the same boat I'm in, so, you know, maybe that'll help the paddle from one time or another. Another thing I have on my notes here, when I don't want to get away, is that Donna and I had a conversation tonight. We were talking about Chad and Anna's news that was shared last night, and it was such a marvelous time. We so enjoyed everyone's contribution to the announcement of their new grandbaby on the way. Well, it got me thinking. It served to instigate a conversation about whose responsibility is it in a family to bring up the child as far as family history is concerned. I never thought we'd have a conversation like that. But we talked about who did it in Donna's family, who did it in my family, and I'd like to just put the question to you. When it came time to tell you, you know, who your aunts and uncles were and what the birth order was, and, you know, something about great-grandparents, if that was something they could pass along, who was it that did it in your family? KK4JBQ.
Believe it or not, there were several in my family to do that. My older brother helped me out with it. My oldest sister. I've got two older sisters, and I've got the oldest one. I did a good bit of that, and then got a cousin, and then. But if you want to go back and really figure out the family history, that went back to my grandmother and grandfather. They both would sit around and talk about the family and the lineage and that sort of thing. But it really came from them, for the most part. They gave us what all they could remember, and our great grandparents, which were their parents, and so they were pretty very well familiar with that. But just different folks. My brother was into ancestry a whole lot more than I was, and so he started in on it. And then my oldest sister, she got really involved in it, there for a while. I really don't know. I try to tell our kids about my side of the family. Joy tells them about her side of the family, and then we go back, and then we have to go to the ones that that did more research than we did. So it's all passed down, but it's not passed down the way it used to be years ago. I remember my grandparents and my parents as well, all sitting around talking, after that at a breakfast table or dinner table or whatnot, or even out on the porch in rocking chairs in the afternoons, late in the evenings. They get to talking about that stuff, and if you were there to listen, you'd learn a lot.
Check in.
Check in. Go ahead.
Check in. November 4, Delta, Juliet, Charlie, N4, DJC, Jerry, and Anderson. Better late than never, I guess. Hope everybody has a good evening.
DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net would like to say good evening to N4 DJC, Mr. Jerry, down in Anderson. Jerry, you ain't never late till we close it out there, young man. You can come on in here anytime. We do appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening. Hope you are doing well down there in Anderson. Back to you, Larry, KI4 DOS to KK4 JBQ.
Okay, well, glad you got another check-in there. Who knows, if you go till 10:30 and after, you can still get check-ins. That's wonderful. Glad people are out there still listening. Well, it's kind of important, and you made a good point there. Culturally speaking, it is, in many cultures around the world, there is an understood family historian, someone who makes it a point to have all those facts and have a way of presenting it that's interesting, sort of in orders so that you can absorb it. And for instance, the native people who were here. I'm quarter Cherokee, and I'm aware that they had a very sophisticated written language. Many did not. So oral history was how they communicated in many cultures, how they communicate the past. When things happened related to who was there, it was happening to, of course. And families sitting around and talking is just not something people do, but I think if they had a purpose to pass along family history, then perhaps you could convince the younger ones to put their phones aside, put their devices, let's call them anything else, aside, and have a conversation and learn something that will stick with you for the rest of your life and matter to you, because you will know where you come from. It's just terribly important. And with that, I'm going to give you a break, Gary. You have held up quite a while. It's almost 10:40 here. And thank you again for calling the net. It's been a pleasure to be here. But you need your rest, and so does everybody else. We'll talk with you again soon. This is KK4JBQ. Thank you, Gary. Good night. 7-3.
Brought up some really good points tonight. Appreciate you doing that. And like I said, my oldest brother, he's he's passed away now. He's not a silent key. He wasn't a ham radio operator. But you know, when we have a death, I guess that's the first thing that comes to mind anymore. But my brother's passed away. But he was one of the bigger historians, and then my oldest sister. And then I've got an aunt, Judy, and she has done more research than any of the rest of us. So I'm, we stay in touch still. She still loves to get together with, like family reunions and stuff, and she'll get one of those together. We hadn't had one in, the COVID crap, pardon my way of wording that, put the quietus on the family reunions, but we were having them up until the COVID hit. And hopefully now that it's over with, or that portion of it, things will get back to a little bit closer to normal, to where we can have those get-togethers again. When you don't get to see your family, your extended family, aunts and uncles, cousins, and this sort of thing, you sometimes you forget what they look like, depending on how long it's been since you've seen them. So I think family reunions are good things to happen. But anyway, thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for talking with us a little bit about it. Enjoyed it. I look forward to doing it again. Hope you and Miss Donna have many more great conversations like that, and y'all have a great day tomorrow. Take care there, young man. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. On the rec you list is Mr. Jim, KN4LEI, down in Toccoa, Georgia. Jim, what have you been up to today?
A lot, Gary, but finally got the air conditioning going, but not the central air. We had, last year, after my dad passed away, the heater stopped, or the furnace, and then the air conditioning wouldn't work. We got central heat and air conditioning in this house that I'm living in now by myself, but I don't know when we'll get that thing fixed. But the good news, Gary, my brother, last year, brought me one of his. I told him let me have it. But one of his extra air conditioned units that you can put in a window. So I got it going on right now. I should have put it on last night, but I didn't. Oh, I was about to burn up last night. But you know, since the weather has changed and everything, so the humidity's changing and all that stuff, everything. Hey, you know, y'all were talking about towers a while ago. I already told you what my plan is later on, is to get the, I am going to get the beam, the Mosley Pro 67 beam in the tower, and yes, and I am probably going to get the 1500-watt L-Craft solid-state amplifier. The nice one, with no tubes in it, of course, and the automatic tuner. Okay, back to the tower. There, Gary. I'm wanting to get probably go ahead and get the U.S. tower, crank up, fold over. The model number is, you can look it up on your internet, it's TX472. I thought it was 572. It's 472. And I'm wondering how to put that thing up in the air. We're going to have some electrical. I think we're going to have the coax. It's going to be underneath the ground. The rotary, the rotator, or whatever you want to call it, wire, of course. And then probably the remote control. I think it's remote control. I'm going to probably have to get me a remote control for it, so I can bring it down from my bedroom. See, that way I can have it hooked up and have it so that way I won't have to go outside. But the main, my question is bringing that thing up in the air. I'm hoping I won't have to have a bucket truck to bring that the tower up in the air if I have all that, you know, the wire up and the remote control where I can have it set up in my bedroom where I can bring it up. But my question is, I won't have to have a bucket truck to bring that tower up, will I? Back to you there, Gary.
I've got a tower up here at my house. And to answer your question, first off, you should not need a bucket truck if you're having a crank-up, a fold-over tower. Now, my tower is about 48 feet, and then I've got about another 11 or 14 feet of mast pipe at the top of that. Coming out, you know, from the top is probably about 11 feet or maybe a little more. You will need some type of winch set up, you know, like some people use a hand winch, like you've got on the front of a boat trailer, you know, to wind that up. Those are a little bit lightweight, so I wouldn't use one of those. I'd use a little heavier duty one. I finally bought an electric winch to put mine up and down with. You will need a post of some shape, form, or description that's, you know, like 4 or 5 feet tall at least, and it probably at least that far down in the ground to raise your tower up. Now, when you've got it cranked, you'll crank it all the way down if you get a crank-up tower. You crank it all the way down, and those things are still somewhere in the neighborhood of, 20 feet tall or something of that nature. And then you can let it over, but you need a winch to let it over with, so you'll have 2 inches. You can use electric on both of those where you can control it from inside the house if you wanted to. I would suggest doing it from outside because you want to be careful as to what's in the way when you start raising a tower up. My tower, like I said, it's about 48 feet with 11-foot mast, so it goes about up to about 59 feet or so. And then they've got an antenna on top of that. So when I raise mine up, I have to be careful because of the power lines. I let mine down towards the front of my house instead of the back of the house because I got too many trees in the back and I couldn't let it down that way, so I had to let it down where there were no trees. So it depends on location and what's surrounding it and that sort of thing as well.
Now, there won't be any worries about that. One thing I was reading on the internet about the towers and your neighbors and all that, I'm going to have it about 70 feet away from their boundary line, so it won't be no problem about that. There won't be any power lines near. The power line's over there near the mailbox. After you go down a driveway, that's where the power line is. The tower will be in the backyard. It won't be anywhere near no power lines or anything like that there. And I think I do want to. They say to get that motorized crank up tower there, Gary.
But you know, that motorized crank up tower is, if you can afford it, that's the way to go. A friend of mine that he's Silent Key now, lived down in Malden. He had a crank up tower, and his tower was I don't know how tall his tower was. Now, I'm gonna say it was about 60 feet, but each section was about 30 feet long. It was a mess down there. But his was crank up, and you had to crank it up by hand. It was not a fold over, so you couldn't lay it down in the ground, on the ground to work on the antennas or put antennas on it. But he had different ways to put that up. But if you can afford a motorized tower like that, that'd be the way to go. I know when I put this motorized, the electric winch on my, that makes it a whole lot easier just to push a button than it did to get out there and turn the crank.
It's going to be 72 feet high.
Yep.
And higher, because I'm on the guy at a club, so let's put your 2-meter antenna on top of it. So it's going to be 72 feet high, plus, and you can look it up on the internet, Google it, TX472. TX472, it'll tell you all about it. It's got four sections. It's 1,040 pounds. Can you believe that? 1,000 pounds for that tower. I'm going to be getting it from HRO. And it'll be 72 feet high, plus we're going to put the 2-meter antenna on top of it there, Gary.
Good deal there, Jim. I guess you'll have somebody, a freight company, deliver that to your house. That may be a fun project there. If you don't have a tractor, you may need to get a couple of your neighbors that has a tractor or something to help you maneuver the thing around, since it weighs so much. I don't know how they'll deliver that. Probably be a freight company. At least I would think that it would be, it being that size. And that much weight, but that's the way to do it. I've got my tower up, and I've got on the top of the tower I have a 2-meter omnidirectional. Then I have a 4 beam, and then I have a 5-band HF beam. And then come down and you go get onto the side of the tower. You come down, I got a cross arm in there, and I've got a 440 vertical and a 220 vertical. And then you come on down below that, I've got a 2-meter vertical. So I've got all the antennas up that my tower can stand right now.
You telling me that? I thought I was going to say, I can't think of anything else, but. Hey, you don't think, remember, I was telling you about that phone call, we have a net tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I don't know, hey, you think you could, in the evening sometime after 7 o'clock, you might give me a call if you got any free time there. The way I got it set up, I didn't know this, but I got True Vista instead. I don't have Windstream no more, but True Vista for the internet and telephone, and now it's costing me 9 cents a minute. But, if you could, I was hoping maybe you could give me a call tomorrow night if you got any free time there, Gary.
Good, Jim. I meant to call you earlier. I told you I'd call you last week or week before. I don't remember what it was now. I'd have to go back and look at the emails and all that, but I've got your phone number here, and I can give you a call tomorrow night about after 7, about 7:30 or so.
I see that thing keying up there. Yeah, that'd be fine, no problem at all. Tomorrow night at 7:30, that'd be fine, no problem.
Making myself a note right now to call you at 7:30 tomorrow night. When I come in here to the radio at 7 o'clock, I'll see my note and I'll give you a call.
That'd be fine. I got something blow your mind. 20 and 40 meters both right now are booming. Booming, I'm talking about. Booming. Did I tell you? I don't think I told you. But I was hearing some guys on the internet. I don't want to hold you. I know you're going to have to get to bed early. In a little while, you will. You will have to, on this Semi 300, I don't know if you got any of, have one or not, but they don't have a, you know, for your filters and, I mean, for your noise and all that stuff. I didn't know this, but I was listening other night. This is like a, well, I keep saying other night. This is like a couple of weeks ago. Okay. I was listening a couple of weeks ago, and they're talking about this Yaesu. I don't have one, but it's a Yaesu FTDX. I have to say it right. FTDX 101 Delta. And they say it's the same thing as the MP, but there's a, I think there's two little things on there. I wish they had it on the 7300, but they don't. It's a VC, Victor Charlie, VC tune, or tuner, or something like that. I saw this off of the internet, too. The guys on the, on that net, on the hole in the wall net, was talking about it. They have the hole in the wall net at 10 p.m., 7188, every night. Anyway, they were talking about it, and I saw a YouTube video about it. Oh, I like it. I wish I had it. And it'll, believe it or not there, Gary, it'll cut out about half of your noise. That would definitely help me out. But even on the beam intent, I don't have it yet, but I'm just saying, it would help me tremendously, and I could pick up a lot of those weak stations and pull them out there, Gary, and it'll bring it. Bring down a lot. It won't bring out a whole lot of your noise, but it'll bring about half of your noise down on a meter with that VC tuner button on that radio.
KOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KN4LEI. Mr. Jim down in Tacoma. I don't have a 7300. I'm not familiar with that particular radio, and I'm not particular with our. Not familiar with that radio or with the Yaesu either. I've got the radios that I've got here. Most of mine are older stuff. You know, I've got a Yaesu FT840, which is just a little plain Jane, not a lot of bells and whistles and stuff like that on it. And then I'm talking on a Kenwood 2000. A TS-2000, which has got a whole lot more bells and whistles on it. But the notch filters and the noise blankers and all this, are, you know, they can really help you pull a signal out that you're looking for. And that's really great. But, you know, that way you don't have to listen to a lot of extra garbage in there that I would have to listen to, because my little 840 doesn't have hardly anything like that on it, which is okay with me, because I wanted that particular radio and I really like it because it's very simple. And there's not a lot of menu-driven stuff in it where you have to change this to, you know, go to here to do this and push this button to do that, and you don't have to do that with this particular radio. And so it all works out. But if that's what you like, you know, and that's what you want, I'd go for it, you know. You know, what the heck, you know. You're going to go with a big tower and your beam's up there, and you want a radio that can cut all the noise out, buy you a new radio.
That's the plan. Oh, I guess I'll tell you, last week I went to talk about Anderson, South Carolina, a guy that came in a while ago. I went over there the other day, last week, one day. That place has grown up over there in Anderson. I didn't hardly recognize that place at all there, Gary.
But see, if I came down to Tacoma, that place has probably grown so much that I wouldn't hardly recognize it. It's been, oh gosh, it's been at least 15 years since I've been down to Tacoma.
It's changing. It's where the Gretzky's used to be in Tacoma is now Chick-fil-A. And then Wendy's, not Wendy's, well, where the Burger King used to be years ago on 17 is now Wendy's. So we got a few things, and Tocoa is growing some. I noticed some of the houses off of Skyline Drive, I looked, and there's a few houses there being built, so it's growing, but I didn't recognize that place at all, Anderson. I got lost a few times, and I knew how to get back on Clemson Boulevard, no problem. And some of the places have gone out of business. I don't know. I understand all these places going out of business. Toys R Us and the bath and whatever it is. I forgot what you call that. You know what I'm talking about. And Radio Shack. I can't figure out. And I like Radio Shack. Real nice. Real good. And I don't understand. Well, Radio Shack, I don't understand these places going out of business. Are they just not making enough money?
Yeah, JI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KN4LEI, Mr. Jim down in Tocoa. Well, Jim, I don't know why they go out of business. Partly because, of their profits. You know, profits are down and this sort of thing. I enjoy Radio Shack. Bed Bath and Beyond, my wife has been to them before, and I mean there's other places and this sort of thing, but part of it is the internet too, Jim. Everybody's shopping online now, so why have a retail store when you can just sit at home and look at your computer and order the stuff and have it brought straight to your home? That's one of the things that's happening to the retail industry. As far as the retail outlets and the stores and this sort of thing, they can't afford the cost of a building and the electricity to light it and keep it warm in the winter and cool in the summer, and the employees and all of that, and then the merchandise and it's just sitting there, and nobody coming in to buy it, that's nothing but a dead expense, and they can't do business that way. They've got to make a profit so they can put different merchandise out there. It's not just one thing that's doing away with it, but it's a whole lot of things.
Well, I'll go ahead and let you go. I'd like to come see you sometime, but if I come see you, I'd have to get you'd have to tell me how to get there, but I don't know if I'd have to have a GPS, and if I've been through easily, I can't remember, and I wouldn't know which road to go to get there.
Up here, all you got to do is call me, and I'll come direct. I'll either come get you and bring you on in, or I can tell you turn by turn how to get here. That's not a problem, so you won't need a GPS. years and years ago, I drove a truck, Jim, for 45 years, and I never had a GPS in the truck. But I always got to where I was going and got back. But they had things they call road maps, Rand McNally and that sort of stuff. Back then, and they were pretty well accurate. You could get to the place, and most of the time, you could definitely get to the town, but then you might have to call and ask for directions. Give you some main roads or something of this nature, but after that, then it got kind of crazy. But anyway, enjoy talking with you. Hope to do it again, and I'll call you tomorrow night about 7:30. I got your phone number, and I got my note written down here in front of me, and I'll talk to you then. So you have a great evening, what's left of it. Go enjoy 40 meters and whatever else was on there. I think you said 20 and 40 was booming, so go out there and enjoy that a little bit. And we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, Jim. You take care. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
4DOS, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Papa, X-ray Bravo, Lloyd Mobile, and Greer.
Say good evening, KO4PXB, Minister Lloyd, mobile over there around Greer tonight. I appreciate you being with us tonight, Lloyd. You be careful out there on the mobile. I guess you're headed back towards Simpsonville, so you be careful. Have a great day tomorrow. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.